Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yes, sir. It's always the case. Absolute power in the song I'm playing. Welcome to the Master Plan. I'm JT. Another Sunday morning's up. We got a lot of things to cover. 347-637-3220 is the number. We're talking about money, money, money. Getting paid more than one way. A lot of things going on. Let's listen to the OJs. Get myself together. And we'll talk about we'll talk about money getting paid. Yes, sir. I'm back and ready to roll. This is a 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. This is the Master Plan. Crank it down a little bit, Jerry. Get a little bit excited. The number, this is Jerry. JT Money. You can call me any way you want. Just pay me the money. Just like we're talking about getting paid. Money, money, money can be the root of all evil if you let it be. But the number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll run that back to you again for the third time if you didn't listen to the first two. 347-637-3220. Also, we have a chat room. As always, when I'm the host in any of my shows, if you want to converse with any type of subject, even off base, something crazy, just don't get too foul, we'll talk about it. In the chat room, if you like, if you don't want to call in, if you're just listening and you want to chat and not put your voice to the airwaves, no problem. We can accommodate you, with the chat room. Now, like I was saying before, we're talking about money. Now, there's some that want to get paid and some that are getting paid. And what we're going to talk about first is the ones that want to get paid. We're going to talk about the guys that are doing their thing in the March Madness. Now, we got free agency in the NFL. We got March Madness going on. And we also had a bunch of trades in the NBA. Too many, too numerous. I don't want to get into the NBA right now. I want to just talk about some March Madness and some of the NFL moves and some of the things that are happening or taking place right now because of one person that's still out there. One of the biggest free agent right now is out there, and the fallout or potential fallout that can happen depending on where he's going, or even he hasn't announced where he's going. He's pretty much narrowed it down to a few teams. Now, existing quarterbacks on those teams, quite naturally, you know, you're a quarterback. If you're a quarterback and a big name player like Peyton Manning is being courted by your team, and you, at least you were the starting quarterback, especially if you're Alex Smith of the 49ers, or you're Tim Hasselbeck, or even Jake Locker, and saying, you know, what am I? I know I'm not Peyton Manning, but, you know, openly courting a Hall of Famer like Peyton Manning, when you have quarterbacks in place that could start for you, I don't know, you know, and in the case of the Tennessee Titans, these guys are locked in. They can't just walk over to another team and say, hey, you want my service? Raise your hand. You want my services? You know, you're going to have to sit and take it. You know, it's just like you're getting tied up and getting spit on or whatever, you know, or getting slapped in the face. And then you have to wait because you don't know if you're going to be playing on that team. If Peyton Manning decides to take his wares to Tennessee, now Tim Hasselbeck has got to go look for a job. And more likely, at this point, he may be a backup. So he's got to scramble to find a job. Or in the case of Alex Smith, he had a hell of it. He had his best season last year for the 49ers. Best season for the 49ers, and what happens? All of a sudden, on Tuesday, unbeknownst to a lot of people, I mean, the majority of the people, except for the people that were involved, Peyton Manning worked out for the 49ers. He worked out for the 49ers. Just listen to that. He worked out for a team that hadn't even been on the radar. These other teams, Denver and quite naturally, Miami was trying to get an audience, and Arizona, all had set things up for Peyton Manning, and they interviewed Peyton Manning, and he snuck in and worked out for the 49ers. You know what? These teams, in my opinion, they're talking about loyalty. In of all sports, that there is no loyalty, and it's apropos to this quick song I'm going to play. From the same group I opened the show with, teams will do this to their players. This must be Mr. FSP.
You know it is.
How you doing, my man? I'm glad to hear your happy voice.
Yeah, and, you know, Backstabbers is one of the songs that I like to play on my show, and it's apropos. But you know what? If Alex Smith really thinks that Niners are backstabbing him because they're bringing in Peyton Manning, then he needs to go try to win a job somewhere else.
Well, why do you say that? Well, look at all of a sudden, now, the two Tennessee Titans quarterbacks knew they probably were going to have to compete for the job. They didn't think they were going to have to compete with Peyton Manning. All of a sudden, Bud Adams jumps up and says, "You know what? I want Peyton Manning. Go get him." Now, Matt Hasselbeck, I already said this before, is going to have to scramble to find a job if Peyton Manning decides to pick the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
And more likely, it's going to be a backup role. It's not going to be a competing for a starting job.
He can come to D.C. Come to D.C. Matt Hasselbeck can come to D.C., compete with RG3 to see if RG3 is ready or not. And if he doesn't, if he's not ready, the Redskins have a veteran quarterback who can step in, assimilate to the offense, and do a decent job for a year or two. Better than Rex Grossman.
Well, Mr. Gardner, they just re-signed Rex Grossman.
I know that. 1 year, I know.
So,
that's why I said what I just said.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the thing about it, I don't know if you knew this or not, because I just read this morning. Alex Smith today is in Miami talking to the Dolphins.
I talked to him too, even though they're gonna get Flynn. But the bottom line is that, okay, it's a business, and if Alex Smith did not see or understand that Jim Harbaugh made him a success story this year, then he's sadly mistaken, because nobody's gonna give him a lot of money to be a starting quarterback. If they do, they're foolish, because he couldn't survive in a pass-based offense. Miami is going to be a pass-based offense. It's not going to be a run first, then pass the ball. So that's
okay.
Okay.
Now let's backtrack here for a minute.
Okay.
We'll backtrack. We'll go back into. Let me see. Now today's Sunday. We'll go back until Saturday. Maybe Friday. You had your operation. I'm glad that it went through well. You had it on Thursday.
Yeah.
You posted some pictures, if I do believe, on Saturday?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yep. Yeah.
And a couple videos, pre-op and post-op.
Mm-hmm.
Why? All I can ask you is why did you do that? And I'm not criticizing you. I'm just asking you.
Information, you know. A lot of people out there wanted to know how I was doing and stuff like that. And it was nice for everybody to send their prayers up and stuff. So I just wanted to show people, you know, what I was doing pre-operation and then what it looked like post-operation. And this sucks. It feels bad. But, But you know, I feel good enough and can move enough that the doctors released me a day early. So that was a plus.
And are you wearing a halo right now?
No. The halo is only used when you're in the surgery, because they had to stabilize my head. They actually dug in a little too hard and made a couple holes in my head, so I have stitches in those places where the halo was.
Okay.
I have a hard neck brace and a soft neck brace.
Okay. All right. So, but overall, how are you feeling right now? I mean, you in any kind of discomfort, or you probably are some post-op discomfort, pain-wise. But overall, how are you feeling?
Overall, I'm good. I mean, you know, they gave me so many types of drugs to control the pain. I really don't need them. Although I did take some this morning because I was feeling kind of bad. But you know, my left hand, and the stuff that's remained a problem, they're not so much a problem anymore, and I can explain what they did, because they didn't do the original surgery that they were going to do. They did something that was a little bit it wasn't riskier, but it fixes the problem without having to take out everything.
Right.
If you think of a door hinge, that's what they put in my neck. They put a door hinge and a door in my neck. They cracked and broke one of the vertebrae and split it. And they put a door hinge with a flap in its place, and then they put screws in that to connect it back to my spine, so that the fluid can flow through my spinal column, and the nerves would have room to, you know, take care of each other. So, oh gosh, I'm threatening.
Right?
Yeah. I gotta take this. Just go ahead and talk. I'll talk to you in 1 second.
Okay. And right now we're talking to Victor Gardner. We're talking about him and his operation that he had to relieve the nerve problems that he had on his extremities. He has been a great friend for a number of years. I met this guy.
And I'm
going to
take your money.
Huh?
And I'm going to take your money.
And I ironically, and I'm explaining to you, because you're like, I would say, not quite a son to me, but I haven't yet to meet you, but I think we've gotten a bond quite a bit over the years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's ironic, I met this man through the, and I'm not trying to get touchy-feely here, but I'm just saying, I met this guy over in fantasy football. I think he happened to be in one league, and I happened to join a league. I don't know how I did it, but I happened to join a league, and he happened to be a member of that league and said he had a football league that was going, and would I be interested? And I jumped into that league. Got hammered because I think that was like the beginning of my experience in fantasy football, or like the second year I was into fantasy football and didn't quite know as much as I know now and about fantasy football. And over the years, he started a program. I jumped into the program. That was the first time I jumped into anything like that. Not anything like that because I really had a phobia about my speech, I guess a speech impediment, because I stutter a lot and I have a tendency to mix my words up at times. But I got to give it to this guy. I called in and I've been talking to this guy for a matter of, 4 years now? I guess it's the fourth year, maybe fifth year?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was at the beginning of when he started his program, the FSP show, long ago, about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and quite naturally, some other programs, the FSP Crew Show has been was born, and then the Master Plan, because I guess my ego got a little bigger and I got a little bit more confident. I got a little bit more confident, and I wanted to try something on my own, so I've been having fun doing that, and this guy means a lot to me. I can't wait to meet him. When he gets in the States, because I know he's going to be in the States within the next few months, I'll make a specific trip, whether he comes to the East Coast or I go to the West Coast to meet this guy, because we've talked a lot. We talked a lot of smack. We exchanged money back and forth. So
more so your money than my money.
But that's okay. That's all right. I know I talk a lot of garbage. I'm going to smack you up this afternoon
in
my draft. I have no idea. Let me tell you something right now. I'm talking a lot of garbage, but I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing in this baseball. I looked at a few articles, but I said to myself, you know what? What the hell? I want to see what the thing is about fantasy baseball. I heard this other guy, he sent a message through Yahoo about a 5x6 or a 5x5 or a 6x5. 5x5 or 6x6, and then you responded to him by 10x10. I have no idea what you got.
It.
Okay.
All right. I know we're talking about Manning and football and stuff, but let me explain fantasy baseball to those out there. Fantasy baseball is a rather long, drawn-out process during the season because the season begins in April,
right,
or end of March, early April, and ends in September sometime. And a lot of people that play fantasy baseball don't like playing fantasy football because there's several different styles that you can use in fantasy baseball. You can do rotisserie, which means there are a bunch of categories, and each person, let's say you have the most points in RBIs that week, so you get a point. But then another team has the most points in hits, so they get a point, blah, blah, so on and so forth. So it's rotisserie style. I don't like that. More fantasy football players have played fantasy baseball in a head-to-head manner, which I'm doing.
Right.
And the 5x5, 6x6, and 10x10 are the categories, meaning a 5x5 is there are five batting categories and five pitching categories.
Okay.
Or six, or you know, 6x6 and 10x10. The reason why I do 10x10 is because there are negative points assessed for, like, strikeouts and stuff like that, whereas I like to, you know, I like to have a lot of points scored, keep things interesting, because if somebody has, like, 5x5 and their opponent's winning, like, seven categories to three, you know, it's going to be really hard to catch up to that person during that week, whereas, you know, the more categories, the more interesting it is. And I also make it so that you have to pick a left fielder, a center fielder, a right fielder, as opposed to just a regular outfielder. Because you can get the three best outfielders on your team and just dominate, you know, and stuff like that. So the way I have it set up, you have to be more of a thinking GM than a, you know, a lackluster GM, I guess.
Well, my question is, this is one of the questions I had when you had told me about this before, about the breaking down the outfielders depending on what position they play, center, outfield, I mean the center, left or right. In a draft, I don't know if this is not the first time you've done this, right?
No.
Oh, you've broken them down last year, I gather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in a draft, will it have right field, left field, center fielder? Okay.
Yep, sure will.
Okay, so I didn't know if you had to decipher that in order to draft a right fielder if you didn't have a right fielder, or a left fielder if you didn't have a left fielder. If it says it in there, then you know who's the top left fielder, who's the top right fielder, and who's the top center fielder. Am I right about that?
That is correct.
Okay. No problem.
I was going to say that if you haven't pre-ranked your players, you're going to get the default. So, like, for instance, a good player – that was down last year, but is going to be a consistent good player. Like, let's say Alex Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
He had a decent year, but he got hurt toward the end of the year, so his numbers are down.
Right.
Whereas he would normally be in the first round. You know, you might have to change the order to get him wherever, unless you just go ahead and decide, well, I'm going to queue up Alex Rodriguez and draft him when I'm ready to draft him. You know, like, I'll give you a prime example. Ryan Braun last year was a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
This year, according to a couple of magazines, he's now number 78. So,
what?
And the reason why is because Prince Fielder's gone. There's nobody in the lineup to protect him. So, you know, there's some issues. So his value has dropped, even though he's still consistent. So you got to look at teams and say, okay, well, you know what? Last year, the Phillies, they got a powerhouse pitching staff, but their bats are getting old. So do I really want to get Ryan Howard? Do I really want to get Jimmy Rollin? No, I'd rather go get Lee and Holiday and stuff like that and pick and choose. So you got to look at it like that.
Plus the fact is Ryan Howard's got an Achilles problem too. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, and you don't know how that's going to affect him, how he's going to start the season, and how long he's going to last with that Achilles. If that Achilles pops, you can forget it. So
yeah, absolutely right.
So like I said, we're talking about the fallout of Peyton Manning. All these teams that were waiting for Peyton to make his move or have existing quarterbacks. Miami decided, they got decided because Peyton Manning said, thanks but no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona couldn't wait any longer because of the bonus they had to pay Kevin Carver. They had to make a decision one way or the other, and they couldn't take the chance of Peyton Manning saying thanks but no thanks, and it'd be stuck with only John Skelton. so they had to make a move and re-signed or gave the bonus to Kevin Cobb, so they would have a competition in training camp between Skelton and Cobb, which is not a good option either way, in my opinion. And then who else was there? Tim Tebow There's been a debate about whether Tim Tebow, depending on if Peyton Manning stays there or not, if Tim Tebow is going to be the starting quarterback or the backup quarterback or is going to get traded. And if he gets traded, where does he go? The most likely landing spot is everyone's talking because he's done his best in the state of Florida, that he's going to Jacksonville. What does that do to Blaine Gabbert? So, and if he goes to San Francisco, quite naturally, I don't think Alex Smith is going to be happy being a backup. He's going to try to push himself to go to, well, maybe the Dolphins. If the Dolphins sign Matt Flynn, then he may try to go over to Seattle because now they don't have a backup or somebody who's going to start compete for the starting job with Tavares Jackson because Charlie Whitehurst went back to the Chargers. It's a lot of things that are in play and a lot of fallout and a lot of quarterbacks that are presently in their position now or trying to get to a team because they're free agents are dependent on what happens with Peyton Manning. On bated breath, they're saying that he may make his decision in the next couple days, and I read something on the internet that that's not necessarily true, that he's going to make a decision in the next couple days. So I'm thinking like this, and see if I'm wrong about this. I'm thinking this looks like a Brett Favre type of freaking thing. I'm not saying.
Wait a minute.
Just listen to my thinking. I'm not saying that it's the drama of a Brett Favre or anything like that, but you worked out for all these teams. You got the team's best financial pitch for the most part. And you know you're going to get close to the same amount of money that Indianapolis wasn't going to pay for you, one way or the other. How long would it take to make a decision on what team to go? You know the situation in all three of these teams. You can see the makeup of the management and the makeup of the team itself, including the skill players of each team, and probably what the philosophy is going to be going into the draft of these teams, of all the teams that are in play. We're talking about the Broncos, talking about the Titans, and we're talking about the 49ers. He knows, or seen film on these guys. I'm pretty sure he's watched film on these guys to see where he think he would fit the best. How long, in my opinion, is it going to take to make a decision? There's no timetable, I understand, but what people are expecting that he's going to make a decision like in the next couple of days, Monday, Tuesday, and then a report on the internet says that's not necessarily the case. Well, what is the case? I mean, you got other guys and the teams dangling out there trying to make moves, and you're waiting for one guy to make a decision that can be made in a day or two, in my opinion. I mean, he's got all the information because he's been on a tour for the last week. He's got all the information. Peyton Manning's not a dumb guy. I mean, he processes information pretty quickly, if I'm not mistaken. How long should it take? Talk to me, Vic.
Well, I'll say this. The 49ers are making a very compelling argument for him to come there by signing Mario Monningham and teaming with Crabtree and Frank Gore and that style of offense, which will protect Peyton Manning because they're going to run first. And, you know, they might throw it a little bit now because Vernon Davis, if he goes there, Vernon Davis was already a top tight end. He'll probably be the top tight end if Manning goes there.
Mm-hmm.
But to make a decision, I would say you have a team that wants to give you part ownership of the club or a certain percentage of the club even after you're finished playing.
Right.
You're talking
about the Titans, right. And that's his home. That's a state where he made his name.
Yeah, in college, and his wife is from there and stuff like that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's very, very tantalizing. And then you look at Tennessee. It's Tennessee, the 49ers, and what's the other team? The Broncos?
Broncos.
You look at Denver and say, well, we can easily win that division. We can easily win the AFC West because it's not that tough. And you know, the problem that he would encounter is Tebow mania versus Manning mania. You know, who wins? And does he want to do that to that kid? You know, so it becomes an issue of, I think he probably wants to go ahead and go to Tennessee because of the ownership and the ties he has there. He knows the South as well, AFC South.
Exactly,
so
I was going to make
like
that point. Yep.
So it's not like it'll be foreign to him. He'll have a solid running back, but he has a diva receiver. You know, but he also has another young receiver, but it all depends. I mean, if he wants to stay in the AFC and have a shot at playing Indianapolis twice, winning that division, and, you know, being the hometown hero, plus have ownership, he'll pick Tennessee. But if he wants to dominate a division right away and punch a ticket to the playoffs right away, he'll play with the 49ers. I really don't think that that the other team's in play. That's just the way I feel. I think it's Tennessee and the 49ers.
You know, I think you have a good point there. And in my opinion, I think he would rather go to the Titans before all the facts that you had said. He knows his division. It's an AFC. He knows the AFC better than he knows the NFC and the players in the AFC. It's this state where he made his name when he went to the University of Tennessee. Like you said, his wife is from Memphis. He's revered in that, just like he was revered in Indianapolis. It would just be like old home week going back to Tennessee and revered in the state of Tennessee. And he's got a very good running back. He's got a decent core of wide receivers with Kenny Britt coming back. He's got Nate Washington and Damian Williams. He's got makings of a very good core of wide receivers, and he has a good tight end, James Casey. And I forget if this is another one, but he has James Casey, which is another good tight end. So, and the defense is not that bad, and they just signed Steve Hutchinson, All-Pro offensive guard from Minnesota. So he's going to be well protected. Let me put it that way. It's not like he's going to get pounded. I mean, the comfort level, in my opinion, and the possibility of winning that division, and he would have to go against the Houston Texans twice a year, which could be a very, very big stumbling block because they're a pretty tough team now, especially their defense has been ramped up. I don't know. I mean, I think Denver is like the third of those three, in my opinion. I think Tennessee's on the top, and San Francisco is a very extremely 1A, not even a 2. I think it's a 1A because, I mean, it'll be brand new, be completely different atmosphere because he's going to the West Coast. I know you would absolutely cherish it. couldn't wait to go if you went that way because of where you're going. And all the weapons and the prime time defense that he has there. I mean, that's like if he goes to San Francisco, all I can do is shake my damn head because Randy Moss, and Vernon Davis. Michael Crabtree.
And Mario Manningham.
And Mario Manningham and Frank Gore. Kendall Hunter, which I think is going to play a big part this year because Frank Gore is becoming pretty fragile. If you're listening to Ricky, if you draft Frank Gore this year, good luck because I think he's an injury waiting to happen this year. Proved it last year. He wasn't too effective. He was effective early part of the year, early part of the game, and then as the game ran on in each of his games, he kind of wore down, and Kendall Hunter had put more and more time in. So he's got issues. I think he's wearing down just like Steven Jackson, but I think Steven Jackson's got a little bit more wear on him than Frank Gore, but that's neither here nor there. But what can I say? You know, I mean, Mario Manning.
You just made a very, very, very good point as to why he should go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
You got the playmakers there already in place.
Yep.
All it's going to take is just the getting to know them and who runs the best routes and stuff like that. I mean, if you think about it, besides owning part of the Titans, yeah, you've been to Tennessee. Yeah, you're revered in Tennessee. But you're not going to win a championship in Tennessee. You're not. You're just not, because they're too young and raw at the receiver spot. And as you said, Houston is going to have that division locked down for a couple years. I think he can go into the NFC West and dominate with those tools. And so what if he plays his brother once or twice and, you know, to see who goes to the Super Bowl? I mean, that's fine. That's fine. At least you don't have to play each other in the Super Bowl, even though that will be the big ticket sale for everybody or whatever. But I'm thinking San Fran is a better option now because of the weapons.
Yeah.
That's something to think about.
Well, the weapons, yes. Now, is he going to be able to deal, we're not just talking about him and his, talking about his whole family, meaning
mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning, his wife and kids, be able to deal with the left coast lifestyle compared to where they've been in Indianapolis, which is a big difference.
Yeah.
Or down in Miami, which East Coast and West Coast, different mindset and different lifestyle, especially up in San Francisco. Peyton Manning is pretty conservative type of guy. He's not, you know.
I got you. I follow.
And we're talking about him going to the left coast. I've been to the left coast, not on an extended period of time, but I've been to the left coast. They have a different mindset as opposed to the Midwest or the East. So that's a big culture, and the culture change, culture shock. Just like guys that played, and it doesn't make a difference what sport they played, whether they played on the East Coast and they make a move to a team on the West Coast or vice versa. It's a culture shock, because the fact is you're used to one spot, you're used to the lifestyle, the pace, and whatever else, the attitudes of people in one venue, Midwest or East, and you switch venues, you switch atmospheres, you switch everything, and it's like a culture shock. And it's not much of a big a shock to you, but to your family, because your family dealing with the regular people all the time, versus you are mainly into your sport, and you're dealing with the people that are in that sport. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're basically a professional athlete. Spends time with his family, but it doesn't spend as much time with his family in the general public as the family spends with the general public. So.
Mm-hmm.
When you make a move to to whatever coast you go to, you have to think primarily. I know you think of the money and whatever, but you have to also think, if you have a family, you have to think of how your family's going to be able to deal with it too, because they're the main ones that are going to be your support system.
Yep.
No happy wife, no happy life. You understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
So,
I got you.
And it's a big move. And right as I'm talking right now and saying that, I'm making a case for Peyton Manning taking his time to think about where he wants to go, because his wife and family is used to one type of lifestyle for a long time, 15 years or thereabouts, 20 years, because he got married when he was in college. So he went from Tennessee to Indianapolis, which is not that big a difference in lifestyle. Now he's going to make a move either to the West, or he's going to make a move to stay in Tennessee. Comfort level, I don't know. You know what I mean, it's you got positive negatives going to San Francisco, and you got positive negatives going to Tennessee. I think that those are the two really in play to me. Just like you had said, I think those are the only two really in play with me. I don't know. It's a big decision. I mean, he's going to only do it for 2 or 3 years, and then he has to deal with his life after that. And
well, that leans more toward Tennessee then.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, if you're in dire need of trying to win a Super Bowl now, you go to San Francisco and deal with the lifestyle out there, or if you want to play it out and take a chance and see if you can get the team in Tennessee to the Super Bowl, which is going to be a little tougher, then you go to Tennessee. Denver, they got a halfway decent defense that's not even close to what they have in San Francisco, and I think Denver's defense is probably comparable to Tennessee's. You may differ on that. And their offensive weapons, quite naturally, offensive weapons in San Francisco are better, and the offensive weapons in Tennessee, in my opinion, are better than ones in Denver. So I think Denver's third on the list. I think it's between Tennessee and San Francisco, and Peyton knows the AFC. I think he's going to Tennessee.
Well, you know, I can agree with you on all those points, but my question is, let's say he does go to Tennessee, and Alex Smith does not come back to San Fran. What does San Fran do then?
Who do they draft? Wow, mm-hmm. San Francisco's like number 30th or something like that in the draft.
They're low. Yeah, they are low.
29, 30. It's got to be somewhere around there. It's got to be 29, 30. I don't know. You think Whedon's going to be around by then?
Yeah, I think he will be. But I don't think San Fran's going to. I mean, if you put Whedon in there in San Fran with those weapons and that run game, I think he'll be successful. But I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick. You know, people are still going to look at that kid out of A&M.
Tannehill?
Yeah, Tannehill.
Oh, okay. Let me get this out to you then. I just thought about this. Now, Peyton Manning goes to Tennessee. All right, say he goes to Tennessee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flynn
goes to Miami.
And with Alex Smith go. You think Alex Smith stays? No, this is my scenario. Peyton Manning goes to Tennessee. Alex Smith gets signed by Miami for some reason. He gets signed by Miami. And I'm just putting this scenario out there.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Flynn goes to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hasselbeck is sitting out there. Matt Hasselbeck goes to San Francisco.
That would be a perfect fit for him.
Okay.
That would be a good fit for him because it's an easy system. He still has a decent arm, and he has a lot of weapons. So
okay,
think it works.
You think Matt Hasselbeck will be able to buy into Jim Harbaugh's style of coaching?
Yeah.
Okay.
He will because you deal with Holmgren.
Okay, because I'm just putting that scenario out there. We just moved around on four quarterbacks, and I just. Put that out there because the Peyton Manning fallout, it could affect up to four quarterbacks, just like we just talked about.
Yeah,
just
it could
one guy,
many, many more.
Yeah. So
I mean
because
if you look at all these teams, I'm going to cut you off, Jerry. But if you look at all these teams
mm-hmm.
that have quarterbacks and they're working out Manning or looking at him, you know, you got to say, wow, am I just another guy? I understand he's a legend, but am I just not good enough to make it here? And
right.
Then if Peyton doesn't sign here, you have to babysit that quarterback. You got to say, okay, well, we did what we were supposed to do because it's a business, and blah 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 blah. You know.
Well, that's the point I was making before. I mean, I don't know if you want. I think you probably want on the air, but I mean, I was saying that was like a slap in the face to a quarterback that's sitting on a team, just like Matt Hasselbeck. What am I? I understand that's Peyton Manning, but what's up with that? I mean. It's pretty much a slap in the face, especially it's a huge slap in the face to Alex Smith. And the fact is that he had his best year last year, and they're going to just toss him if Peyton Manning decides to come to the 49ers. And in fact, even to look at Peyton Manning for the simple fact Alex Smith is on the upswing. If he stays in that system and he does the same things or improves more through the Harbaugh system. And all of a sudden, how quickly things change and the landscape changes and everything changes because the team decides, oh, he's out there. Let's go. He's the flavor of the month. Let's go after Peyton Manning. So
there you go.
I mean, That's why I played that Backstabber song, man, because there is absolutely no there is absolutely teams talk about loyalty. There is absolutely no loyalty on either side of either side, the player or the management. There's no loyalty. If push comes to shove, the money's shoved in your face, the player will jump. If a better player, or you can see, can look at and say, well, this guy's a better player, we'll jump after him. The heck with the player we had. No loyalty. So it's a business. I understand that. But when a team start talking about loyalty and how a player or a coach decides that gets bad mouth about making a move, they should look in the mirror, because each one of them, if opportunity arose, will take the money or take the player.
Every time. Well, not every time. I ain't going to say that every time, but
yeah.
I agree.
All right.
I got to get out of here, Jerry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got to go. My neck's starting to bother me and my voice is starting. I'm not even supposed to be talking that much.
You know what, Mr. Gardner? I appreciate you calling. You take care of yourself, man. You didn't have to call in, but I appreciate the call.
Oh, you know, I'm going to call in and talk trash to you before you do this draft.
I'm going to kick some ass. I can't
okay.
wait.
Okay, you keep saying it. You keep saying it.
You take care, man. You keep well and be well.
All right, you do the same, brother.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Mr. FSP. I'm glad he decided to join us. He had, like I said, he had his operation Thursday. He came home from the he came home from the hospital yesterday, and I'm surprised he had enough energy. I shouldn't say enough energy, but he considered calling in and letting us know how he felt. Gave us a little bit of his opinion on this Peyton Manning things that is happening. His decision, the big decision for Peyton Manning. And for those who didn't know, Mario Manningham, who won the Super Bowl with the Giants this past Super Bowl, didn't think they were going to be able to retain him. Well, he got signed by the San Francisco 49ers. So he's added to the wide receiving core of Randy Moss, Michael Crabtree, and now Mario Manningham. And I'm not sure about who else is on there. I'm thinking a guy, Kyle Williams, is the other one, the one who had those turnovers in the NFC Championship. So they have a vast array of different type of wide receivers for a quarterback to throw to, whoever that may be, whether it be Peyton Manning if he decides to go to the San Francisco 49ers, or if it's Alex Smith, if he returns and they sign Alex Smith. Or if Alex Smith doesn't resign there, he signs someplace else. What happens to Matt Hasselbeck if Peyton Manning goes to the Titans? Does Hasselbeck get signed by the San Francisco 49ers? Like, we had all those scenarios that we had pushed out there. We got 11 minutes. Telephone number is 347-637-3220. Chat room's open if you'd like to lay something in the chat room, but that's okay if you don't. We are also now going to talk about, we had talked about fantasy baseball a little bit. I have a fantasy baseball draft for the first time ever, I'm jumping into the foray of fantasy baseball. I won a couple of championships in fantasy football this past year. So all you fantasy football fanatics, I'm still going to be talking about fantasy football leading into the draft, leading into the NFL draft, leading into the summer, into the preseason, and leading into the fantasy football and football season of next year. I've won two championships, money and non-money. I've been in contention with a lot of teams. I usually play about eight teams a year. I think I know my stuff. I do believe I can help anyone who is playing fantasy football for the first time or is an experienced fantasy football player. My specialty, for the most part, is running backs. I can pick out running backs. I picked out a few running backs over the years before they broke out, before they were even talked about. Jamal Charles, and yes, I picked out Jamal Charles, and it's documented in the archives of the fantasy football, fantasy sports and politics shows, and fantasy football, fantasy sports and politics crew show. They're all documented on Jamal Charles, and also the number one guy I'm talking about is Arian Foster. I praised Arian Foster before anyone, I'm talking about anyone, jumped out there and talked about Arian Foster. I have been on his bandwagon, and I picked him up in a lot of fantasy football leagues before he became what he is now. I do believe I can do it again this year, pulling another running back out there. I had taken a shot, and on a lot of my teams, I drafted LeSean McCoy. Well, he broke out this year, had his best year this year. So that's three running backs. I've been playing fantasy football for about 5 years, give or take 5 years, maybe 6 years or whatever. I've become pretty proficient, in my opinion, in fantasy football the last three years at least, and especially picking out gems that are going to be breaking out in the running back position, which is my forte is running backs. I love running backs. I picked out three of those running backs in the last 3 years: Jamal Charles, Arian Foster, and LeSean McCoy. And all three of those years, when I picked them out, is when they had their biggest year. I can do it again this year. Keep following me, because you never know when I'm going to give you the information. It could be on any of these shows, or I tell you to watch out for someone, or I like this kid a lot. That's a key. Write it down. Keep it to the side. As more and more it gets closer to fantasy football drafting, which is some teams do it early. I don't prefer that. I prefer doing in somewhere to mid late August. That way you get the preseason games, and you get a better feel for teams that have what they're going to be doing with their players. But for the most part, when I pick out a running back, that running back for the last 3 years running, he's had his best year. I can believe I can do it this year. Now getting backing up here, we're talking about the free agents getting paid money. Matt Flynn's still sitting out there. He went to Green Bay. Excuse me, he was from Green Bay. He sat back for a few years and watched Alex. Aaron Rodgers do his thing. Four seasons in, now he's going to be a free agent. He's already talked to Seattle. He's looking into, visited the Dolphins, Alex Smith, because of the play of Peyton Manning, also visited the Dolphins. Jerry Philbin and his offensive coordinator are from Green Bay, but I'm talking about the Green Bay Packers. Their roots are in the Green Bay Packers. So what I'm saying is this: Jerry Philbin helped groom Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn, I had said before, and I'm still saying it, is a huge, huge upside if he goes to the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, just like a lot of teams, are in need of a quarterback. They have a decent defense. They did have a decent wide receiving core until Brandon Marshall left. Now they have to get a number one wide receiver again. But they have weapons. They need a quarterback to stabilize the offense. Matt Flynn, I do believe, in the West Coast offense, which Reggie Bush will definitely flourish in, can make a big difference in real football and in fantasy football. This is my first big chance. I should say big chance. This is my first time. I'm absolutely pushing a quarterback, an unproven quarterback. He's had a couple of opportunities, three opportunities, if I'm not mistaken, and he's come up well in all of them. I told you I'm good in running backs. Well, I wouldn't jump in and say this quarterback is a star in the making if I really strongly didn't believe it. And I've seen this kid play. Every time he's played, I've watched him. I watched the whole the whole game on him. See his demeanor in the pocket, how he handles himself on pressure, how he deals with moving around in the pocket. This is a star waiting to happen, but he has to be in the right system. If he goes to Miami, that's the right system. That's his quarterback coach that he had in Green Bay. The offensive coordinator used to be the head coach when the quarterback coach was in Green Bay. I'm telling you, this is the ideal position for this kid. He doesn't have an overly strong arm, but he can make the throws, and he's very accurate. So I wouldn't be pushing him if I didn't feel very confident about him. Anyway, getting away from that, there's a lot of other free agents that made moves. Drew Stanton, which is, I think, a very good move for the Jets, went to the went to the Jets. He was formerly of the Detroit Lions. I think that the experienced quarterback, he's a backup quarterback, but I think if in a pinch, if Mark Sanchez doesn't watch himself, this guy can jump in there and take the offense. And both of them are going to be learning a new offense because Tony Soprano is the offensive coordinator. So it's going to be a lot of ground and pound. So if you've listened to the shows recently, especially the last two shows that I've been on that I've been hosting, the FSP Crew Show on Thursday at 8 o'clock, which starts, or the FSP Show, which I'm substituting for Vic Gardner, which started yesterday at 1 o'clock, I am not a huge Mark Sanchez fan. I'm a huge Jet fan because I've been with the Jets for 44 years, 57 years old. 44 years I've been a Jet fan. So at age 13, it'll be 45 years this year. At age 13, I started liking the New York Jets. And if I'm telling you, I don't like Mark Sanchez, it's because the fact is I don't think he's a starting franchise quarterback, and I think that there needs to be someone, his backup, Drew Stanton. He's not the best, but he's a viable backup compared to Mark Brunell. Mark Brunell had a very soft arm and was an older. He's 40-something years old, or 40 years old. Drew Stanton's a lot younger. So and I think even though Mark Sanchez got big money and now he's talking about people being gutless, I think he needs to be pushed. I think it's going to be a long year for the New York Jets, unfortunately. I hate saying that, but I don't have confidence in Mark Sanchez. Right now, we've got about a minute left in the show. I appreciate Vic Gardner for calling in. I appreciate you people for listening and listening to me rant and talk about what I talked about today about the free agents. And we're talking about money, getting paid, and all I can say is this, that these free agents, especially the quarterbacks that are still sitting out there, not even necessarily free agents, are sitting on pins and needles waiting for Peyton Manning to make a move. Peyton Manning's going to get paid. He's going to get his money. These other quarterbacks that are free agents or not even free agents but on these teams that Peyton Manning's trying to get to are going to have to make their way one way or the other. They're going to get paid, whether just like Mark Sanchez. So I'm going to say this. Good luck to all the and see what we'll see what happens in the next week. I would say probably in the next week, by Wednesday, Peyton Manning is going to make a decision. But we'll talk about that on Thursday, and we'll also talk about what happened in the NCAA March Madness on Thursday. That's the FSP Crew Show, which I host with Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker, 8 to 9 on Thursdays. And I'll be back either by hosting or co-hosting. By hosting or co-hosting, I'll be back, and we'll talk about whatever's happening in the news of fantasy sports or politics on Saturday. And right again, 10 o'clock to 11, an hour show. It'll be the master plan, and you are here with me. That's JT. I'm the master, and we'll be conversing again, probably talking about the famous stuff, the free agency, Peyton Manning move, March Madness, baseball. I'll give you my experience in fantasy baseball draft and whatever, and whatever else hits my mind and what I want to talk about. But until then, I want to wish Victor Gardner health and recovery. I want to wish everyone who listened to me and listened to me rant and rave and ooh and ah about whatever I was talking about today, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening and putting up with my rants. And like I said, we had a chat room, or you could call in, and if you didn't like what I was saying, you can always dispute it or whatever. But until then, I'll be around and listening to my ear on the ground to see what's going on with the different sports and giving you that news on the different venues that I have to give it to you. I'm going to close this out with just what I said. I'll be around. It's an old school song from an old school guy talking about the Spinners. Okay. That'd be the spinners. And just running that back to let you know that I'll be around. I would like to thank, like I said, all the participants. I'm talking to a guy in sports bractology that's starting a new show. Hopefully I can get his link before I jump off. Let me play this song here, Backstabbers, and then we'll see what happens after this song goes.